The story is told of a tribe in the remote jungles of Africa that has devised a very effective and creative way to trap monkeys. Maybe you've heard this story before. They make a container and they fix the container to the ground so it can't move. And the opening of the container is just big enough for a monkey to reach into. And so then they put a banana in the container. And of course, a monkey comes along and sees the banana and says, "I like bananas." So he reaches into the container to grab the banana. But when he tries to remove his hand from the container, he finds that he can't take the banana out because the banana and his fist are too large for the opening. And so he stays there holding on to the banana, and the natives come and bag the monkey. And that's how it works. So the moral of the story, of course, is if the monkey were smart enough to let go of the banana, he could hold on to his freedom. But because he wants that banana so much, he ends up being trapped. Well, I think we all know things in our lives that we hold on to like that. Things that if we let go of, we might be happier in the long run. We might have a greater sense of freedom if we let go of them. But a lot of times when we think about letting go of something, all we can think about is the pain and the sacrifice and the difficulty of that process of letting go. Because, logically, we're holding on to that thing because we like it in some way. Although, paradoxically, so many of the things that we hold on to are not really all that good for us, and we know it. But the truth is, when we let go, or at least when we let go of our attachment to whatever it is, then we find true freedom. In the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter is preaching to the people of Israel, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So if we pay close attention to that, it's really a three-part instruction. The first part is repent. The second part is be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And the third part is receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now we listen to that and we say, "Wow, that's wonderful. I like steps 2 and 3. Receive forgiveness of your sins and be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit." But we look at that first step and we think, "Eek, repent? I don't want to let go. It's hard to let go of certain things in our life." But the reality is, so often the things that we're holding on to are precisely the obstacle that prevents us from receiving the fullness of God's grace. They are barriers to our full life in the Holy Spirit. There are many things that we could let go of. I came up with a little list, not an exhaustive list, of course, but maybe some of these will resonate with you, as most of them resonate with me. How about letting go of past hurts? So often we hold on to these things. Other people have said to us, people have done this or that to hurt us. We hold on to these wounds. We nurse our grudges, our unforgiveness, our feelings of bitterness and resentment. It's poison. If we let go of that, we're going to live in such greater freedom. But we hold on to it, don't we? How about self-reliance? We know intellectually that trusting in God will lead us to a greater peace and happiness in life. But how much easier it is to trust in ourselves, and we hold on to that. Sometimes we worry about what letting go of that will really look like. Bad habits. That goes without saying. Everyone has at least one, I'm sure. And we know that if we let go of it, if we let go of our attachment to whatever it is, then the Lord will lead us to greater happiness, greater joy. How about fears, anxieties, worries? I think we all have at least one of those as well. And we hold on to it. Maybe not even purposely, but it's there. And for some reason, we keep it there. And the Lord invites us, let go. Let it go. And find true freedom and happiness. Finally, how about self-loathing or shame? So many people are burdened and weighed down by almost a self-hatred, thinking of themselves in such negative terms. And they fail to see that they are really wonderful creatures of God, made in His image and likeness. Yes, we have our guilt. We're not perfect. But to think of ourselves in such a negative way can really be detrimental to full life in the Spirit. If we let go of that kind of attitude toward ourselves, we can find new life and new peace. You know the things that are there in your life. I think we all do. If we don't, we should probably take a little bit harder look at ourselves, because there is something in our life that we should let go of. God never forces Himself into your life. He never makes Himself an unwelcome guest in your heart. But there has to be space there. There has to be room there in order for Him to enter. He's not going to come in and start throwing things left and right to make room for Himself. He leaves that decision to us, to you and to me. And He says, repent, let go, make room. I want to come in, but I'm not going to force myself into your heart. So the mystery then is, why is it so hard to let go? One of my very favorite proverbs, Proverbs 26, verse 11. It's a little bit graphic, I'm going to warn you. It says, as the dog returns to its vomit, so the fool repeats his folly. Kind of an ugly image, isn't it? We've probably all seen dogs do that from time to time. It's gross. It's disgusting. But the writer of Proverbs has a really good point. We realize these things in our lives that are not good for us, and yet we keep going in that direction. You know, I'd love to lose a few pounds, but I sure can't stay away from the snacks and the sweets. Well, you know, why do I keep doing it? You know, why do I keep eating those things if I really want to lose weight? See, we have this mixed reality inside, where we know up here what we want and what is good for us, but maybe our hearts just aren't quite convinced yet to let go of these other things that hold us back, so that we can be cleansed of those things and be filled with the life of the Spirit. We have a good shepherd, and a good shepherd always takes care of his sheep. So our good shepherd invites us to live in this kind of three-part dynamic, where we're in a constant process of letting go of our attachments to things, letting go of all these various other things I mentioned, letting go of whatever the obstacle is that keeps us from loving God and experiencing God's love for us. The Good Shepherd calls us to that. And in His goodness, He also invites us to trust that He knows how it's going to happen. But He asks us for one thing, and that is for our cooperation. To say, yes, I will let go. And to trust the Lord that when we let go, He won't let us down.